Okay, boys, today's daf is daf Lamed Beis. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amed Beis. We're going to ask Meisve Akasha. What is the Kasha on? The Kasha is on the Minhag of Rav Huna, as we'll see. Let's go back two lines, which we learned already yesterday. Four lines from the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amed Beis. Amar Rav Chalvai, Chazina Leil Rav Huna. Rav Chalvai said, I saw Rav Huna. The korach lo me echad klapi shma, ba'oisa pashi oisa hastumais. Apparently, Rav Huna was a soifer, and Reb Chelbei was saying about Rav Huna, he had two minhagim that I noticed. Number one, when he was folding up the mezuzah to be able to hang it on the doorpost, he would go and fold it from echad towards shma, meaning from left to right, which is of course our minhag as well. More importantly for our Gemara's, Va'isa Parshiyoseh Astumais, when he would write the two Parshiyos in the Mezuzah, he would make sure that the first Parsha, which ends, Beisecha Uvish Arecha, that it wouldn't be a line and then blank until the next line, and then start Vahoya Im Shemaya, but he started Vahoya Im Shemaya on the same line as the Uvish Arecha, which means he wrote the Sharecha on the final line of that parsha, left out a few spaces, and then continued on to the next parsha. And that's what we call stumais, because if you start in the next parsha on the next line, then it's called psuchais. You have that vis-a-vis virtually every parsha in the Torah. If you look up in your chumashim, you'll see it says usually samach, 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 or pei, 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 to indicate whether in the Torah you start the beginning of the next parsha on the same line, or you started on the next line. Vayichi, of course, is a major exception to the rule, where Rashi already says in Chumash, because of Nistamu Einayim, of Yaakov Avinu, because of the Golus, therefore there is no space between the previous Parsha and Vayichi, except for the single space like you normally have between one word and the other. And the other question? Is it good? Fine. So this is the Minhag of Rav Huna, that in the mezuzah that was written, he would always make sure to start V'hayim Shemoya on the same line as the Uvisharech. Frey Dimara Meisvei. That's very hard to understand why Rav Huna did that. Because we have in the Braisa Umrib Shimon Elazar, Remeir Hoya Kaisva, and every time I mention Remeir and Ksiva, immediately Barry reminds us that Remeir was a cipher. He was a lavler or a cipher. Remeir Hoya Kaisva al Duchsustus Kimin Daf. Va'oisa revach milmale, va'revach milmata, va'oisa parshiyoseha psuchais. So we have a number of points over here. Remeir, when he would go and write a mezuzah, he wrote it on duchsustus. What exactly is duchsustus? We're going to learn a little bit more about that on the bottom of the Amud Aleph here, on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. But basically, every animal has, of course, a hide or a skin. And when you remove that hide or skin from the animal, what typically they do is they now take it and divide it in half. And I don't mean in the sense of vertically, but horizontally, which means they would go and split it apart and discover that there are two layers in that hide. They had the outside layer and the inside layer. The outside layer is what we call klaf, and the Me'iri in Masechta Shabbos says that the reason why it's called klaf, it comes from the word klipa. Klipa, as you know, means the peel or the shell. For instance, if you have grapes and you remove the outside shell, you remove the klipa. So here too, the upper part of the skin of the animal is called klaf, from the same word as klipa. Immediately under that, there's a second layer. That second layer is the part of the animal, or part of the skin, which is right next to the basar, basar being the flesh. So what does one thing have to do with the other? How does it get the name duchsustus? So the Tosis in Masechta Shabbos says that the word duchsustus is really a combination of two words. The word duch is an Aramaic word, and that is the same thing like you have in the Gemara from time to time. Duchta or doich plan, where duchta, duch, means a place. Sustus is a Greek word. It's belosh in Yavan, koin lebosar, sustus. So therefore, when you remove that second layer, or when you divide the skin into two layers. The bottom layer, you say about that, duch, here's the place where it was attached to the basar, to the flesh of the animal. So that's how it got its name, duch sustus. What's the nafkimina? The nafkimina is where you write your Sefer Torah, your tefillin, or your mezuzahs. As we'll see in the Gemara later, typically you wrote a Sefer Torah and your tefillin on the klaf, being the upper layer. As far as where on the klaf they used to go and write it, the klaf has two sides to it. It has the mukam seyar, seyar being where the hair is, that's the outside of the skin. When the animal was alive, you saw that part of the klaf. However, they didn't typically write on that side of the klaf, but rather, after they skinned the animal and you split it into two layers, they wrote on the inside of that outward klaf. As well as when it came to the duch sustus, they didn't normally write it on the outside of the duch sustus. Forget. They didn't write it on the inside of the duch sustus where the flesh was originally attached, but they wrote it on the top of it. We'll talk about that more later in the daf. But the point is, Reb Meir, when he would write a mezuzah, he didn't write it on klaf, but he rather wrote it on that second layer, on the duch sustus. So that's one point to note with Reb Meir. Number two, he wrote kemin daf. What means kemin daf? He wrote it like we write in a Sefer Torah a long column, and if you look at the last line of Rashi, kemin daf, kemin amud shebisforim arucha uktsara. It's similar to an amud, meaning a column in your svarim, in your Sifrei Torah, that it was relatively long, and ktsara, and narrow. Why is Rashi saying that, and what is so special about that? Because if you've ever seen the parshas in Tefillin, you could take a parsha and you open it up and you discover that there are only four or five lines for a parsha in the Tefillin. And on the first line, on each of the lines, you might have 20 or 25 words or something like that. It's very long, and then of course it rolls up. As opposed to, take for instance, if you look in our Gemara, you'll see on each line there are only 6 or 7 or 8 words. And that's similar, the Sefer Torah might have 10 words, Bissel Meh. So he would go and write the mezuzahs in that fashion, not long, long mezuzahs, but your normal columns, like our mezuzahs, where you have one column and you have two parshias, one on top of the other, relatively narrow in terms of each line, and relatively long in terms of from the height from the top of the mezuzah to the bottom. The oiset, now in the top of Lamed Beis, says, Vayta Ligmara, another minig that he had was, Vayta Revach Mulmalev Revach Mulmata. He would leave a margin on the top of the mezuzah and a margin on the bottom of the mezuzah. It doesn't say how big the margin was, but the Gemara will address that in another 4 or 5 lines. Vayta Parshi Yosea Psuchais. And he was careful to make sure that the first parsha of Shema would end with Beisecho Visharecha, leave out the rest of the line, and start the new parsha of Hoyim Shmoya on the next line. With this, we have concluded this part of Reb Shimon ben Elazar's testimony as to what Reb Meir used to do, and we already have the kasha. We saw that Rav Huna went and made his parsha say Stumois, and this brisa says that Reb Meir used to go and make it psuchais. But we're not finished yet with the brisa, and we're not finished with the kasha. So Amar Tiloi, so Reb Shimon Elazar now says, I asked Reb Meir, Rebbe, matam, why do you do it that way, the parshioiseha psuchais? What was his question? His question was that if you look up the original parsha of Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, where does that appear? It's in parsha Ve'eschanan, shortly after we lay in the Seres Adibrois, then another 2 aliyahs later, we go and lay in from the Kriya Shema. And there in the Torah, the Uvisharecha ends in the middle of a line, few spaces, and then we continue on the next parsha in the Torah. So therefore, Kriya Shema in the Torah itself happens to be a stuma at its ending. So now, Reb Shimon Elazar says to Reb Meir, when you're writing the mezuzah, why don't you copy what it says in the Torah, and also go and make it stumais. Why are you making it psuchais? It's Amalis. Rameir says, don't bring me a raya from the Torah, because hoyu ve'ein smuchais min ha-Torah. Ein smuchais means that the two parashas of Shema and v'hoyim Shmoya do not come samuch to each other. As we said, Kriya Shema is in parashas Veschanan, v'hoyim Shmoya is in parashas Ekev. There are quite a few parashas in between. We don't mean parashas like a parasha of the week, but we mean individual parashas in between one and the other. And so therefore you cannot compare one to the other. You're right, in the Sefer Torah, the Uvisharecha is on a line and where you continue into the next parasha. And therefore it's Tumais. However, and the mezuzah, the minik is going to do it, Psuchais. With this we've concluded the Braisa. So what is the kasha now? The Omer of Chananel Omer Rav. Rav says, Halacha Kerb Shem Ben Elazar. He means like Shem Ben Elazar in his testimony or his telling us this story with Rameh. And so therefore, what's the halacha? It's like it says in the Braisa, Parshia Seha Psuchais. Now the problem is that Rav Huna that we had earlier that made Parshia Seha Stumais, he was one of the star disciples, he was one of the main Talmidim of Rav. Presumably he wouldn't go against his own Rebbe. So if Rav said that the halacha is like this foregoing Braisa, Reb Shimon Elazar and Rameir, presumably says Yimar, my love up psuchais. Aren't we focusing on the psuchais, presumably on the whole thing, but in particular on the psuchais, so that is directly against the minig of Rav Huna, the Talmud of Rav, who is doing Parshia Seah Stumais. Why would he go against his own Rebbe, who's paskening like Rameya and Reb Shimon Elazar, that you're supposed to do it psuchais? And the Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one, says the Gemara, is even though Rav said halacha is like that foregoing Braisa, it doesn't mean the entire Braisa. It's only referring to the Revach. We said on the top of the Omid, Oysa Revach Mumala, V'Revach Mumata. Oh, that's the psak. You have to have a margin on top and on the bottom. Okay, but he wasn't talking about the psuchais and stumais. As far as we're concerned, we don't know what Rav's halacha, it's sosum as to what Rav would say in this case. He didn't pasuach, he didn't speak it out in which respect he's saying the halacha is like this Reb Shimon Elazar, Mishum Reb Meir. So we say that he's only talking about the Revach. We're going to get back to this shortly, but in the meantime, Frey Timura, now that you're talking about it, the Kama Revach, how much Revach do you have to leave? Omer Menashe Bar Yankov, Yamri Lo Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Yankov, Kimloi Atva De Sifri. Or some write, desafri. What's an atva? Atva is a clip. The Rashi talks about clips in the good old days, and it's similar to those clips that the women used to use for hanging out the laundry on the line. Those
clothespins.
Clothespins, good. So if you look at the Lashon of Rashi, which is a third of the narrow lines, atva desafri, bluin, gluin, whatever that is, eight soduk, they had a piece of wood which was kind of slit in the middle, hanoishik dafei kuntris, that would go and kiss, in other words, hold on to the dafei hakuntris, shaloi yichfalu, that it shouldn't go and fold up. So just like a clothespins, you put it on, you take your two fingers and you open it up and you have the clothes and you put it on the line and you hold it up that way. So similarly, that's the type of atfa de sifri that we're talking about, that the eight sodik, that the piece of wood was cut in the middle. Nowadays, they have something similar, but it's something that we're all very, very familiar with, and that is your normal paper clips. I don't mean the paper clips that you just go insert, but the one that you have to take your two fingers and you open it with your fingers, and then you can put in 5 or 10 pieces of paper.
Binder clips.
Oh, they're called binder. No, binder clips. And that's, if you ever go to a soifer in his study, you'll see that he uses such binder clips. Why does he use such binder clips? Because since we said before that the mezuzahs are rolled up, you don't leave it open. So now what happens is, when the soifer has to go and check it, if he's going to hold on to it, it's going to constantly roll up again. So he has to go and put it down in a way that it'll stay firmly flat, especially if he has to go and make a small tikkun by adding a little ink here or ink there. Can't do it if it keeps on folding up. So what they do is they go and take binder clips on the four sides of the mezuzah, and they attach it to some sort of board, in a strong background, so now it's held taut in place, and then he can go and review it and be magia, whatever needs to be magia. So that's the amount of revach. In other words, not a huge amount of revach, just enough that it should be held tightly by such binder clips in the four corners so that you can work with it. So that was the text. There's Omele Abayla of Yosef, the Atloi Tizbra, the Chi Omer Rav a revach. It has to be that when Rav was saying, I paskin like this brisa, that he was not referring to the psuchos aspect, but he was referring to the revach aspect. Why is that? Because for Rav, isle minhaga. Rav is very, very strong when it comes to minhagim, that he says, that's the minig, and therefore you can stand on your head, bring me as many proofs as you want to, but that's the minig in Klal Yisrael, like the Gemara says from time to time, chazi ma'amad bar. We don't know what the halacha is. Go and see how the oilam fietzach, how the oilam is noheg, and that's the halacha. And we see that Rav is very, very strong about minhagim. How do we see that? Well, we'll see momentarily. But in the meantime, the Gemara says that v'idna noig alma b'stumais. If you go to virtually any frum yid and you say, "Can I go and look at your mezuzah?" Sure, take a look. He opens up the mezuzah, and you'll see. Guess what? That the second parsha starts on the same line where the Uvisha Recha is, and it's Stumais. So you're going to tell me that the masses of Klal Yisrael are all doing the wrong thing? So since that's the minig of everybody, you can rely on that, and that's Stumais, and that's in fact what Rav Huna did, like we had on the Amid Beis. So it cannot be that Rav would go and paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar in the name of Reb Meir, that you have to dafke to Psuchais, because he wouldn't go and paskin against the predominant minig in Klal Yisrael. Now, how do you know that Rav is so strong when it comes to minhagim? Do you omer Rav, omer of Kahana, omer Rav, the same Rav? Em yovi Eliyahu v'yoymar, choltsin b'minol, shoymin loy. Ein choltsin b'sandol, ein shoymin loy. Shekvar noagu ho'om b'sandol. We'll get back to this momentarily, but this was Rav, omer of Kahana, omer Rav. Now we have Rav Yosef, omer of Kahana, omer Rav. He said something almost the same. Em yovi Eliyahu v'yoymar, ein choltsin b'minol, shoymin loy. Ein choltsin b'sandol, ein shoymin loy. Shekvar noagu om b'sandol. So now, you'll see the two members are kamat the same. We'll focus on the differences momentarily. But each one of these is saying in the name of Rav, Rav Amar of Kahana Marav, is Rav Yosef Amar of Kahana Marav, that even if Eliyahu Novi were to come now in the middle of the shir, and he would go and tell us, Ein choltsin b'sandal, he would say, no, if Chas v'Shalom, you have a situation, a Yavam and a Yavama, and they unfortunately have to come on to Chalitza, where our custom today, says the Gemara, is to do it mitas sandal. So now, if Eliyahu Novi would come down and say, Chevra ein choltsin b'sandal, no, that's not the way you do it. We would go and say, Eliyahu Novi, we respect you. You're the one that's telling us the Mashiach is on its way. You're the teiku man that's going to go and constantly answer all of our boys and our shailas. But if that's what you're going to paskin, we're not going to listen to you, and we're going to say, so sorry, Eliyahu Novi, we have the greatest respect, awe, and reverence for you, but the minig in Klal Yisrael to do it besandal, and therefore we're not going to listen to your ein choltsin besandal. What do I see from this? Obviously the great respect that Rav gave to a minhag. If the minig predominantly in Klal Yisrael is for idna noig alma b'slumais, Rav would never in a million years have said that we paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar in the name of Rav Meir that was supposed to do psuchais, since the whole world does it b'slumais. Okay, so that's the kind of the conclusion of the Gemara, that that's why I know for sure that when Rav was speaking, he was talking about the revach. That's how we paskin. Make sure that you make it ke'atva disafri. Make it that they're like these binder clips, just a small amount. You don't need major margins of 2, 3, 5 inches. Just enough that you should be able to hold it in place on the four corners for the Sofrim and the Magiyim to be able to work with. Very good. So now let's go back again. What is this Chalitza business all about? So now, when we learn the Masechtas Yevamos, especially in Daf Kuf Beis, the Gemara talks there about the differences and the similarities between a minol and a sandal. We normally translate minol as being a shoe and a sandal being sandals. But that doesn't really tell us that much about the physicality, the construction. The Gemara over there, however, does tell us the difference between a minol and a sandal. A minol was, the bottoms of both of them apparently were the same, because the bottoms is what people just put your soul and your heel on top of. So that apparently there was no difference or no major difference. The difference that there was by the minhag was that the upper layer was soft leather. And the reason why it was soft leather is so that it could basically be one size fits all, since it's soft, whether you happen to be a size 8 or a size 9 or a size 10, you put your foot in and you're trying to mold that soft leather to the person's foot, and then they had straps around it to hold it in place, and that was your shoe. The sandal, on the other hand, the top of it was made out of hard leather, and so therefore it wasn't one size fits all. Presumably, every person then probably had different sizes, size 8, size 9, size 10, very much similar to our shoes today. Because of the fact that it was hard, it lasted much, much longer, and it was not something that you could easily try to bend and make flexible to your individual foot, but that was the size. You put your foot in. You didn't need major straps to hold it in place because it was hard leather. It held in place, but you probably had something like our shoelaces that we have today.
You had nails in it, though.
It depended on the sandal. That's, you're right. There's certain sandalim that
at
the bottom.
Sandalim Sumer.
Exactly, but that's a special sandalim Sumer. That was on a special clearance sale that it had nails on the bottom. Others they had either rubber or leather on the bottom. But getting back to our Gemara now, what the Gemara told in Masechtis Yevamos is that in certain communities they made a gzera that one should not go and be choletz b'minol. Why shouldn't you be cholitz b'minol? Because since the minol had soft leather on top, it was much more susceptible to ripping and tearing than the hard leathered sandal, which remained in place. Probably wasn't that comfortable, just like people don't often wear sandals throughout the week, unless they are on vacation or something, but otherwise, typically a person is wearing a regular shoe because that's much more comfortable. Sandal being a hard piece of leather, presumably it wasn't as comfortable. Anyway, but because of the fact that it was hard, it typically did not rip. The minhag, however, often did rip. And if it ripped too much, then it would no longer be deemed a halachic shoe, and you could not use it for chalitza. And if you use it for chalitza, it was not valid. So because of that, we have now a machlokes between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba's telling us is that in his makoimois, there was a gzeir, in fact, not to use a minol, because if you use a minol, we're concerned about that you may be using a ripped and torn one, and it was not a valid form of chalitza. Rav Yosef's communities, apparently, they did not have that worry, and there was no such gzeir. So now Rabba's saying, Amar Rabba Amar of Kahana Amar Rav. If Eliyahu Navi were to come down and say, V'yoymar, choltzim a minol, you can use a minol, shoymin lai. Even though in our communities today, says Rabba, we typically don't use a minol because we are concerned about the ripped minol, but if he would say, no, there's no room for the gzeira, it's fine, you can use a minol, shoymin lai, we would listen to him. However, if he would say, ain choltzim a sandal, don't use a sandal, ain't shoymin lai, then we would not listen to him. Shkvar nogu on besandal. And presumably the reason why they had the meaning of the sandal in Rabbi's mokim is because they were concerned about minhalim, so we don't use the minhalim. If Eliyahu Navi says this was an unnecessary gzeira, we didn't have to be so machmir, okay, fine, and we would say we withdraw the gzeira, and we would start using the minhal shoymin lai. But since we've been using sandal for all of these umpteen years, if we'd say, no, sandal's no good, you shouldn't, you can't, we wouldn't listen to him because this is already established, not by today, but the old Rabbanim from yesteryear, that knew every Rabbi Kivager, every Chassam Sofer, and every Toysis, and every Gemara, and every Rashba, they knew by heart on their fingertips. If they said you can use a sandal, we wouldn't listen to Eliyahu Navi. Rav Yosef HaMekahana Omer Rav, Emyov Eliyahu V'yoymar, Ein choltzim minol, if he would say that gzeira that they had in certain places, that chumrah, that you shouldn't use a minol, even though we locally do use a minol, says Rav Yosef, but if he would say you better not to use one, because often the minol turns out to be ripped and torn, and therefore the chalitza could be invalid, so Shemin Lai would say, okay, and if that's what he thinks is the right thing to do, fine, we'll listen to him. However, if he would say, ein choltzim a sandal, don't use a sandal, everywhere, every bezd and every community, everywhere they use sandalim. So therefore, we wouldn't listen to him. So, Vamrina might be nice. So, what's the nafkimina between what Rabbah said and what Rav Yosef said? min al lechatchila ikibinai, with bizman hazeh. The word lechatchila is like minal ho'idna ikibinai, whether we use a minal today or not. So according to Rabbah, we don't use the minal today because of that chumrah that we're concerned that maybe it'll be a ripped minal. See, if Eliyahu HaNavi would say, no, you don't have to worry about the Exodus, it's fine. Maybe it happens 1 in 100,000 times. You don't have to worry about it. So then we would say, okay, so it was an unnecessary chumrah, so forget about it. That would be Rabbah. As far as Rabbi Yosef is concerned, we don't even have that minhag today, because as far as we're concerned, we always felt that this was an unlikely scenario, so we were never so machmir, and therefore Eliyahu HaNavi says, ein choytz a minhag. No, you really shouldn't use a minhag after all. It's okay, so we'll be machmir, it's a taka gut to chumra. So then, nafkimina be minhag mechatchila, before Eliyahu HaNavi arrives on the scene, what would Rabbah hold, what would Rav Yosef hold? Rabbah would go and say, don't use a minhag lechatchila. Well, Rav Yosef would say, yeah, it's no problem, you can go and use it. Okay, one second. So what do we see from this whole fascinating discussion? That Rav, whether it's the first version of Rav, that's the Rabbah's version, or Rav Yosef's version of Rav, but Rav is very, very tight when it comes to the inyan of minhag. And if the minhag in Klal Yisrael is to do it, stumais, would then Rav go and paskin like that brice in the top that it says, Psuchois, Avadanish, that would be against the prevalent minhag in Klal Yisrael. Elav Shmamina is a clear-cut raya arevach Shmamina, that when Rav said we paskin like that brisa, we're not going on the psuchois stumois aspect, but we're going on the revach aspect. Make sure to make a revach mumala and a revach mumata Shmamina. So with this, we have concluded that discussion, that there's no kasha anymore on Rav Huna. Why did you do it stumais? Rav paskin, you're supposed to do it psuchais. No, Rav wasn't addressing psuchais. Rav agrees stumais. He was only talking about the revach. Revach vatzol yam lihuda mi mokam acher. He's talking about another aspect of the brayse. He's not talking about the psuchais and the stumais.
Global question. We see that minig over beers is stronger than halacha. What do you see? Is there a makar for this?
Could be that this gemara is the makar. Maybe there are other makaris as well. But clearly you see from here that Rav was very strong. Minig. And therefore don't try to tell us what the halach is. This is the way we've been doing it for the last 1,000 years. And this is not a community of Amaratzim. This is a community, even if today we may not all be great Gdoli Hadar, but our ancestors, 2 generations, 5 generations, 20 generations before, when these practices were established, they were the greatest Talmid Chacham, and you can rely on them. Okay, but if there are other Makaris, I don't know. Yeah?
How long, also a global question, how long till a practice becomes canonized as a minhag, as something becomes a minhag? Like, what is the evolution of something? Now this is the minhag, and now this has the force of being so strong that we don't challenge it. I mean, we see in America, in our lifetimes, maybe a little before, how things changed in America in terms of minhagim, in terms of kashrus and other things that people used to be, and we see that things got much stricter. There were minhagim before, people were much more lenient, vice versa. Mm-hmm. What's the parameters of that?
You'd have to ask a person who is a big paisik and can weigh which is a minig and which outweighs the halacha. Okay. There is the Satmaruv writes in his sefer, Vayol Moshe, B'shem the Balamur. Balamur is already a Rishon, we have it in the back of the Gemaras. The Balamur says that a minig which is based on Gedoli Hador, Tzadikim, Mekadoshim, that's a minig. However, a minig that was developed by Amaratzim and people that are Maskilim, people like that, he said the same word minig, the same oisius, if you go and switch it around, it's the oisius gehenim.
Oh.
Mem, nun, hey, gimel becomes gimel, hey, nun, mem, gehenim. So therefore, you have to make sure that this minig is tak...
A genuine minig or is it a gehenim?
Exactly. So that's a very touchy situation. I and you, I shouldn't speak for you, but I certainly couldn't decide which one is which. For that, you'd have to have the Kedoy Liador, the Tzidikim, the Kedoshim, and the Paskim.
On your side, we wouldn't say Tachman here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we had it for a long time, and then it disappeared, that whole minute.
No, we continue, for instance, a few weeks ago, the Atzvasemes was Ishvat. We made sure. Okay, very good. I got you. And we continue on. Rav Nachman Bayitzik Omar Mitzvah La Soysan Stumois, the Avdinu Psuchoi Shaper Dami. Says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, I have, if you will, an easier teret. I don't have to go and say that when Rav Paskin, like that previous Breiser, he was cutting and choosing and picking and saying, I'm not going to express any views on the psuchos. That's an open and shut matter, psuchos and stumos. But rather, I'm only going to talk about the ravach. After all, there's plenty of ravach in this braisa to go and pick and choose between the halachas, and I'm only talking about the ravach. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, you don't need to come on to that. Nachman Yitzchak, Omar mitzvah lasois and stumos. L'chatchila, the way you should do it is takas stumos, so that the v'hoyim shemoyah should start on the same line as the uvisharach. However, the avdin upsuche shapidami b'diev, that's also good, no problem. So now I understand the two conflicting hirois. We have Rav Huna that always made sure to do it stumais, because that's what you're supposed to, mitzvah sois and stumais, that's lichat chilin. However, if you have dinu psuchas, if you did a psuchas, it's oh good. Or my psuchas to come Rav Shimon Elazar, here on the top of the Omid, when Rav Shimon Elazar was saying in the name of Rav Meir that he used to go and write psuchas, not that he wrote exclusively psuchos, but af psuchos. In other words, Remeir wasn't concerned that it becomes invalid by doing a psuchos. He says, oh, good. Stumas is good. Psuchos is good. And so therefore, then there's really no steer. So if you want to lay Messiah, let's bring a raya to this Reb Shimon Elazar. Ki oitzebo yisefa toirish shebolo utfilin shebolo ein oise mehen mezuzah. What happens if you have an old Sefer Torah and large parts of the Sefer Torah are already worn out and you can no longer use it for Sefer Torah, and the Sefer says that you know where you can go and repair this Sefer, you better start a brand new Sefer Torah, and this Sefer Torah you have to put in Geniza, put it in chambers. Or the same thing, Legabe Tefillin Shabbat. So now, I noticed that the Parsha of Shema, or Vahoyim Shemoya, looked beautiful. That wasn't touched. Yeah, the embraces is taki right, and noyach there seems to be from the marble a little bit of water, and in other parshias there was the parsha of Sodoim gofes v'melach. You're right, but the Baruch Hashem, the Shema happens to be intact. It's gevaldik. So let's lechayda go and take a nice razor and cut out the parsha of Shema and use it for the mezuzah. That's lechayda the pshat in the havamina, as you'll see momentarily. Says the Gemara, no. Sefer Torah Shabbala, even though it's worn out, tefillin are worn out, ain't, you cannot go and use a good parsha of mezuzah, meaning of Shema Yisrael, of Ohim Shemaya, from the original Sefer Torah, the original tefillin. Why not? L'fish ain't moiridin mikdusha chamura l'kdusha kala. As we all know, you can't go and be moir b'kdusha, you can only be malin b'kodesh v'ain moiridin. So why are those two considered to be more holy, so to speak, than mezuzah? Well, Sefer Torah is chagans to Sefer Torah, and this is just a mezuzah. But Rashi says, even in connection with tefillin and mezuzah, tefillin, after all, is four parashios. Mezuzah only has two parashios, so you have that much more Torah, so therefore it's considered to be kedusha chamur l'kedusha kal. Okay, that's the end of this shtickle braisa. Now the question is, the Gemara is medayik. It's only because of Ein Moirin. But if there would be no issue of Ein Moirin, if they would both be exactly on the same level of Kedusha, Hom would be nice, and then you would be able to go and snip out a parsha from the Sefer Torah, from the Tefillin, and put it and use it for a mezuzah. This happens to be Sosum, meaning in the Sefer Torah we know it's Sosum, because on the same line where Uvisharecha ends, we start the next parasha on the same line, not in the next line. So it would be stumais. And now, if I put it into a mezuzah, then by definition, I'm taking out that same parasha, which is sasum. Now, if you're telling me that Rav Paskin at the top of the omit, that the parasha has to be psuchais, then how could you possibly do that? Even if it was on the same level of kedusha, you wouldn't be able to remove it from a sefer Torah or tefillin and put it into a mezuzah, because this is stumais and this is psuchais. It's therefore, I have a starker raya that when it comes to mezuzah, you can do it either way. Even though mitzvah, lechatchila, perhaps you should go and do it stumais, like Rav Huna did. However, Rav Meir said, nishkeferlech, you can make a psuchis as well. And so tomorrow, lei messiah, lei lechoyra, I have a good teraya to this explanation of Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, in the explanation of Rav, in explaining the Rav Shimon Elazar in the name of Rav Meir. Yes.
Said earlier that it was, the parshas aren't together anyway. The parshas are not, so how you bring in, Hayam Shema is not after parshas of Shema.
Right.
So how you bring in a raya that was this is stumos, it's not
the two different pieces, two different parshios,
and two different.
The Maisa, we don't do it. What the Gemara is just saying is, if they would both be on the same level of Kedusha, L'choira, I could go and cut and paste, so to speak,
right,
take from the Sefer Torah, and take the first parasha from Parashas Veschanan, right, second one from the Ekev, put them together, and I have a presto, I have a beautiful mezuzah. If you want to keep them as one cloth, go and sew them together, as we said yesterday, you can go and sew it with the sinew thread to go and keep them together and have them as one daf, one after the other. But if you did that, says Imar, you'd have a problem, because if taking it from the Sefer Torah, it'd be a sasum.
Well,
if
you're telling me, it's not comparable. It would be sasum, but it's not really a sasum, because they're not smuchos, the parshas.
Yeah, but it depends how you go and cut it. If you cut the first parsha and then leave after the sherecha some space, and then cut it over there with your razor, and then you start the next part, Bahiyim Shemoya, and you put it there at the end of, or the Sofer says, instead of writing out a whole mezuzah, just write out half a mezuzah. And since the Visharecha is there in the middle of the line, then I can continue on. After a few spaces, I'll continue writing from there the second parsha. So if you would tell me that they would be on the same Kedusha level, you'd be able to go and cut and paste and do that. How can you do that? If in the Sefer Torah it's awesome, and here it has to be Basuach, L'choira, it just wouldn't work. It's therefore a Raya, says the Gemara, that it must be that Stumas is good and Psuches is good. So why don't we do it that way? Only because of the Mayrin Mekdusha Chmur L'Kedusha Kala. Yeah.
So it seems like it's because it's a different level of Kedusha, but if I have a Sefer Torah where I have one Urea, let's say, which is Puzzle,
right,
and I have a similar Sefer Torah, same template, same language,
right,
and the words begin and end the same way, could I transplant from one Sefer Torah to another? I mean, even though the Ksav would be different, would that be acceptable?
Based on our Gemara, it sounds like yes. Halacha l'maaseh, you'd have to check it out.
Because you're not in Mored, you're saying same level of condition.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to written in order. You don't know the Sefer Torah was written in order.
But Sefer Torah doesn't have to be written in order.
It doesn't have to be written in order, because it does.
Exactly, 100%.
You don't know chronologically which was written
first.
Okay,
you're right. In a situation where we know that because you have the same, so there was only one Sefer in town, yeah, you'd have to go and figure out all of those types of cheshbonos. But for our purposes, we see l'choira from this braisa a raya that if it wouldn't be for the moirin b'kedusha factor, you could take out from the Sefer Torah or the tefillin and put it into the mezuzah. There in the Sefer Torah it's stumos, and here you're telling me it says in the braisa psuchos. Is the charaya, this is lav dafka. Either way you do it is going to be kosher and it's going to be great. So l'choira have a good raya. After you want to know, you jump to the conclusion that when it says Ein Oisim Hem Mezuzah, that you're talking about taking Agantza Parsha and transplanting it from a Sefer Torah into Mezuzah. No, maybe Dilma L'Hashlim. Maybe we're only talking about the fact that in the Mezuzah Chulila there was missing a line for whatever reason. And what did they do? They wanted to go and now cut out a line from a Sefer Torah Shabalu or Tefillin Shabalu and use that line as the replacement line inside the mezuzah. So we're not talking about the end of the parsha, whether it was Pesuach or Sasim. We're talking about the third line of the first parsha of Krishma, or the fourth line of the second parsha, Vayim Shemoya. A line was missing, and you're just going to go and snip out and kind of like paste it on the back and put it into the mezuzah. So therefore it's nothing to do with our Pesuach and Sasim Shaila. So under normal circumstances, says the Gemara, this would be permissible. The only reason why we're not permitting it is because Ein Mayrin Mekdusha Chamura LeKedusha Kala, and it has nothing to do with our Gemara. And with this, the Gemara concludes that you're right, I don't have a raya from this braisa to the teretz that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok just gave, that you can do it either stumos or psuchos. But now the Gemara is going to be medayik that same Hom Mayrin and Oisin for other related shaylos. Freik the Gemara. Hom Mayrin and Oisin, if they would be exactly on the same madrega, then you would be able to go and switch it from the Sefer Torah to mezuzah. But then you have another major problem. Not only the Psuches and Stumos issue, but I have Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, that tefillin are written on cloth. Mezuzah is written on duchsustus. You're wondering what's the difference between cloth and duchsustus. We spoke about this a little bit earlier. Cloth, b'mokim basar, duchsustus, b'mokim seyar. Now, on the surface, it sounds like just the opposite of what we were saying before. We said before the klaf is the upper, outer layer, and the tzuchsustus is the lower layer, which is closer to the flesh of the animal. And in fact, there are rishonim that learned that way. However, the toisis, which we cited in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Tes says, no, no, no. Klaf is the outer one, the Sustus is the inner one. What does it mean, Klaf B'Makom Basar? As we said before, each one of these two layers, the Klaf layer and the Dechsusis layer, have two sides to them, just like every daf has two sides to the page. Ah, so when we're talking about the Klaf, when you are, if you're a Soifer, and you're writing out on Klaf, you don't write it out on the Mokum Seir, meaning the outside of the Mokum Klaf, but rather the inside of that upper layer, the Mokum Basar. It's not really the Mokum Basar, because the Basar only starts underneath the Dechsusis. But he means Mokum Basar, that side which is closer to the flesh, as opposed to the side which is closer to the hair. And Dechsusis is the same thing. There you're supposed to go and write it, the Mokum Seir. What means the Mokum Seir? On the upper part of the Dechsusis layer, and not on the under part of the Dechsusis layer. Ah, so what do I see from that? I see that there's a major difference between the writing, not the writing material, but the medium on what you are writing your tefillin or mezuzah. So why are you telling me? If they would both be on the same level of kedusha, I would go and switch from the tefillin to the mezuzah. How can you? Tefillin has to be written on something called klaf, mezuzah has to be written on something called dechsustis, and never the twain shall meet. Ever the Gemara, that's all the mitzvah. That's lichat chila. But b'diavad, it really makes no difference. Klaf, dechsustis, klaf. And therefore the Braisa says, in a situation where you need to go and do a filler on your mezuzah, if it wouldn't be for the Moiridin, Mekdusha, Chamur, Mekdusha, Kala situation, you can go and take from old tefillin, Shibalu, and then take from there a line, a pasuk, whatever, and insert it in the mezuzah. You'd have to be careful, of course, that it's again kisidron, etc. That's true, but putting all the other external shyness aside, what the Gemara is telling us is, but yeah, but it's only the mitzvah. In other words, lechatchila taka, this is klav and this is dechsustis. But if you didn't, you switched it, is ochid. Frey Gemara v'atanya, I have a braisa that says shina apostle. If you are mishana in this requirement of the klav and dechsustis, it's apostle. Not that this is lechatchila le mitzvah. This is apostle. Every Gemara b'tefillin, by tefillin you taka be right. If you wrote the tefillin instead of on klav, he wrote in dechsustis, that would be a goner. The tefillin would no longer be kosher. But as far as the mezuzah is concerned, he can write either one. Yeah, the chetchila, dechsustis. But klav is just as good, because it's only the mitzvah. Frank Timur Batani, we have another braisa. Shina bein bezeh u bein bezeh apostle. What does that mean? L'choyre means bein bezeh, both by the tefillin, and by the mezuzah, it's possible that you have to do this one dafkan klav, and the mezuzah has to be dafkan tuchsustis, and never the twain shall meet. So how could the braisa say, if it wasn't the same kedusha, we'd be able to switch from tefillin to mezuzah? You can't. This has got to be shina bezeh bezeh. This has got to be klav, and it's got to be tuchsustis. Everything mara, nay. The bein bezeh is either betfillin. The bein bezeh is not sai tefillin and sai mezuzah. We're only talking about tefillin. So what is bein bezeh bezeh?
Yeah, it's repetitious.
Ah, v'had dekos vinu aklaf b'mokim seyar. V'had dekos vinu aduchtes b'mokim basar. Meaning, as we said before, that when you write on the klaf, which part of the klaf do you have to go and write? You have to go and write on the mokim basar, meaning the underside of the klaf. What happens if you wrote it on the upper side of the klaf? Bein bezeh, possible. By the dechsustis, where are you supposed to write it? You're supposed to write it in the mokim seyar, meaning the oversight, the upper side. And he wrote it instead on the underside of the dechsustis, mokim basar. That is possible. That's the bezeh. But both of them are talking about tefillin. We're not talking about mezuzah. Mezuzah, there's a lot of leeway. You can do it in dechsustis. You can do it on klav. And therefore, if had it not been for this din of ein moirin, you could switch it from the tefillin to the mezuzah. Mi bayisema. No chapshat. That you just told me, shina bezeh bezeh, that both of them are apostle. So we were forced to say they're both talking about tefillin, and we're talking about klaf and dechsustis. No, 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 no. Learn taka the pashupshat. Shina bezeh bezeh is talking about both tefillin and mezuzahs. That what, in each case, if you're mishana from klaf to dechsustis, dechsustis to klaf, it's apostle. But we just said now that if it wouldn't be for the Moridin factor, you'd be able to switch from a tefillin to a mezuzah. So tomorrow it's a machloikis tanoi, tanoi. The sign we have a braisa, shina bezeh u bezeh posel. If you're mishana klaf and dechsustis side by tefillin side by mezuzah, it's posel. However, Rav Acha machshir, l'choyer the Gemara should have said machshir at the very, very end, But it comes out the same. We have a long list of names. Rav Acha is Machshir, Mishum Rav Achoi B'Rav Chanina, V'Amila Mishmei, the Rav Akiva B'Rav Chanina. So that's, all of that is Machshir. Oh, so we see that in fact it's a machlokes whether it's possible b'diavad or not possible b'diavad. So the Braisa that said before, if it wasn't for the din of Mal Mekoydish Ve'Marin, it can't be moided. That goes like this second group of Tanoim that all hold, b'diavad, Baf, Duchsustus, Klaf, it's all kosher, Bein Bezeh is kosher. Fine. So we address that question. But we have now a new question. Again, Hamadin, if you were able to be moided from Sefer Torah or from Tefillin to Mezuzah, Oysen, you would do it. We need that famous Sirtut. Sirtut means that you have to make these invisible lines on the Klaf.
So score,
that
one, score.
To score it. Oh! Make sure you have the right score. Right. So he has to do the scoring, and you have to go and write on the scoring, on those invisible lines, you write out the words, the oisius that you're writing. Now, where do you need that sirtun? So Rashi says, can the farish come on the second line from Rashi? Can farish come on like you're going to learn shortly? Mezuzah requires sirtut,
right.
But tefillin does not require sirtut. Why? Yom Ramanyumi Bar Chilkiya Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria Amar Rab Chol Mezuzah She'ena Misurtetet. If he didn't do the sirtut, it's possible. No good. Where do we take this from? Rav Minyamin Bar Chilkiya Didei. Until now, that was Ramanyumi Bar Chilkiya in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gumi Amar Rab. And now we're saying Ramanyamin Bar Chilkiya on his own. It's a tois at first. Here it says Minyumi, and here it says Minyamin. But presumably it's the same individual. So now he says on his own that the din of Sirtut Shemuzuzah Halach L'Moish Misinai. So there's gotta be Sirtut, but only by Mezuzah, not by Tefillin. So how can you go and say if it wasn't for the problem of the Meiridin issue, you'd be able to go and take from the Tefillin and insert it into the Mezuzah? This is not Sirtut, and this was Mesurtut. So how can you mix and match?
I'm saying you're going to fill in with it.
You have to fill in with it. Very good, very good. And now the obvious question is, even though we're saying that tefillin don't require sirtut, but maybe they used to go and do sirtut anyway. Why? To make it easier for the suffering to go and write on.
It follows. They don't lose the baseline of where they're writing.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Any of us that, we're not, at least I'm not a professional cipher, so if I write on lined paper, I can keep everything on the same line. However, if there's no lining on the paper, uh-huh. You might see after a while the ink line from the beginning to the end, you know, it goes almost like hypotenuse of a right angle triangle.
Yeah.
Exactly. So maybe they did it anyway. So this is not my kasha. This is the top choice. This is kasha. Why are you telling me that the mezuzah requires sirtut and the tefillin doesn't? The dilma, maybe we're talking, the Bryce is saying, just in case you find tefillin that have sirtut, and now you want to go and switch from the tefillin and use it for mezuzah, you can't. You know why you can't? Because ein meirudin b'kedusha. So why can't the Gemara give that teretz? Now, that wasn't the minik. They had the standard minik by Sefer Torah, and their tefillin was, they didn't do sirtut. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they take it to him? If you don't need it, why not? Kim dolebo sirtut, since it didn't need it. Kinamrin bi Yerushalmi perikam de Shabbos. Very interesting Yerushalmi. Kol ha-potr min ha-dover v'oiseyu. If you're potr and you do it anyway, nikra hejit. People look upon you as being shtickle, you know.
A bit on the fringe element.
We're not talking about someone who's being machmer because there is a day in Shulchan Aruch, and even though we may not follow that derech, that day, but he wants to be machmer, that's one thing. But if you're totally potter, if a person moves to Japan from Eretz Yisrael, and for the last 20 years he keeps on giving trumas and mises every year because he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he moves to Japan, he owns a farm, and he gives trumas and mises. Mister, you don't have to give trumas and mises in Japan, but it's not Eretz Yisrael. It's not even Samach L'Eretz Yisrael where there was a temporary Zera.
Right.
Exactly. After the Samidish to remember. In Japan, nobody since Adam Rishon until now has ever given. Well, I decided I want to give trumas and mises. So people look upon him as a hedyot. Hedyot is similar to the English word.
Idiot.
An idiot, exactly.
Idiot, right?
So what he's doing is just ridiculous.
So maybe he was a Jewish American prince.
Yeah. Shkoyach. Anyway, so bottom line is, Toisus says that they didn't have that minik. So if they didn't have that minik, then that's the Moritz Kasha Hadra Kushala Duchta Why are you telling me the reason why you can't go and use from tefillin for a mezuzah is only because of, we're reading Bekdusha questions and issues. You have a problem. The tefillin typically was not written with sirtan. This was written with sirtan. So never the twain shall meet. How can you use it? Everything more to know. In fact, there's a machloikis of Gabi, this halach of sirtan. The sign we have a brice, Rabbi Yirmiya Oim Mishum Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu presumably means Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yuna Nossi. That tefillin umezuzahis nechtovahis shaloi min aksav. The ain tzurichos sirtut. Oh, so I have now Rabbi Yirmiya, the name of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that he's saying by a mezuzah, it also does not require sirtut. What do you mean? We just said in the previous brisa, you have to do sirtut. Kol mezuzah she'en misurtetus is psula, and it's a loch alamay shemisina. It's a machlokes whether sirtut is absolutely necessary or not, and therefore the brisa on the Omer Aleph that said, had it not been for the din of the Meiridin Bikdusha, you could have taken from the tzon and used it for mezuzah. Aye, this has sirtut, this doesn't have sirtut. Rabbi Yirmiya holds, you don't need sirtut, either one, the tefillin or mezuzah, so you could easily switch from one to the other, had it not been for the din of Meiridin Bikdusha. Now what does this mean, nechtov yishloi min aksav? As we'll see momentarily, that typically when a sofer writes a sefer Torah, he's not supposed to do it from memory. He's supposed to have another sefer Torah open in front of him. Maybe a tikkun would be sufficient. You have to ask the sofrim today what they do. But you have to go and mimic what you are seeing in the sefer so that you shouldn't make a mistake. Okay. Izhokti Gemara. So bottom line is we've entered our kasha because the question of sirtan is a machlekes. You do not eat it. You do require it after all. The Idi in both the case of the tefillin and the mezuzah and the chtov yishloi min aksav, the soifer can do it from memory. Why my time? Migris karisin. Migris karisin means since people say Kriya Shema on a frequent basis, you assume that the soifer is baki in Kriya Shema, and therefore he doesn't have to look it up, he doesn't have to read it from a ksav whilst he's writing, but rather he can do it straight from
memory. I remember there used to be on the Lower East Side, on Essex Street, there was a sofer store. You go up and he always had a Sefer Torah open with the clips, and he'd be writing another one next to it, always.
Mm-hmm. Very good, exactly. I assume that's the case of all sofrim, but I couldn't tell you. Zokti Moravaita. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the covet that one has to have for a Sefer Torah. Omer of Chalbay. Ano chazitul Rafuna, I saw Rafuna. That's how we start off today's Gemara, right? Amr of Chalbay, chazitul Rafuna.
Yeah.
So what did he see about Rafuna? To have a Yosef apuria the Sefer Torah now. The lashon of the Gemara is strange because what it's saying is that I saw Rafuna that he was sitting on a bed with the Sefer Torah, which on the surface that's very strange.
Yeah.
But as you'll see, it comes stranger. The kaf lekada aara, he took a barrel, turned it upside down, the anach alei sefer Torah, and he took the sefer Torah and he put it on that upside down barrel. In other words, like a table of sorts. V'had the yosef mita, and then he sat down on the mita. Kasova osaleisha v'algami mita shesefer Torah munach alei. It's not a cover for the sefer Torah to be sitting on the same platform, the same place where the sefer Torah is.
Right.
So why does it say in the beginning to have a yosef apuria the sefer Torah?
It doesn't mean obviously the sefer Torah was sitting there. He wasn't sitting there.
Exactly.
Right.
So there's a beis over here, and don't be beis. The beis tells us that there is in fact a mistake, and it should say in the Lashon, what is it? Avuna de Kof Kada Arad. This is not the right one. But the other Gemaras that say that at the Yosef Apuria, they have a Bo'i Lesev Apuria. He wanted to go and sit down on the bed.
Right.
But the problem was he noticed that there's a Sefer Torah. And he said, what am I going to do? There's a Sefer Torah. What did he do? He took a Kad and he turned it. So you have to add one extra word here to the Gemara. And many of the other Gemaras, they have that here. So they have a Bo'i Lesev. Let's see if this.
Mr. Shas has it. The boy in the midst of Apuria Tzorah.
Okay, which one
hey,
is that?
Hey, in Mr. Shas.
Okay, do you have a hey in your Gemara?
Yes.
Okay, well, this Gemara is missing the hey. So, what can you do? And okay, you have the hey in Mr. Shas, but talking about in the Gemara itself. Right. In front of the Yosef Apuria, you only have a base. That base takes in Shinui in the Schoiz. So let's continue on. So he wanted to sit down, and he said, I can't sit down. Chulila. So he took the kallah, turned it over, put the sefer Torah on, then he was able to sit down on the meat. So if you want to upliga the Rabba Barchana, He, however, disagrees with the psak of Rabbi Yochanan. Diyam Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Mutalei shevagavim mita shesefet zayin monachalat. You are allowed to. Din lachshich odam loymar. If somebody's going to go and whisper in your ear and say, don't you know the famous story in Maaseh Rebbe Luzer? She yoshev ala mita. He was sitting down on the bed. The nisker, and after a while, he turns around and he realizes, oi, I didn't even know. Shesefet zayin monachalat. There's a sefet zayin there. The nishmat, and then he, Reb Lozer, was so upset, he quickly jumped off the bed, the yoshev al gabei karka, and he sat down on the ground, and he looked at his face, the doimik kemisha kishay nachash. It looked like he was just bitten by a snake. That is the distress and the depression and the overwhelming grief that he had, that momentarily he had been sitting on the same bed together with the he was sitting together with the sefer Torah, right?
So you the sofa.
I'm sorry, what's again?
Was he a sofer?
Was he a sofer? Why do you ask? Because it's so far, so far.
No, because he's suffering.
He's suffering. Oh, very good. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so you see that this is a terrible thing to do. How are you saying the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Mutalesha v'gabimita. After all, Rabbi Lozer was one of the star disciples of Rabbi Yochanan.
Israel is a Padasna Moira.
Exactly. And we have frequently Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer throughout Shas arguing or disagreeing, or one asking the other, etc. So you think if Rabbi Yochanan had said mutaleishev, even if Rabbi Lozer was machman, he wouldn't do it, but he would go and be. Everything Gemara, you misquoted the story. Hasam sefer gabei karka. He came into the room and he saw a sefer Torah on the floor, and he was totally depressed and distressed. Ay ay ay, sefer Torah on the floor. But not that it was on the same bed. He sat together on the same bed. So therefore, no raya. Legabi this masa with the bed. A few years ago, the Aguda took videos of some of the Holocaust survivors, so to give them posterity and to give it so it should be for perpetuity, because eventually, Rahman al-Islam, almost all of them have now passed away, and who's going to go and tell us live testimonies? So there was a video of a lady, don't remember her name. Perhaps this is also part of what they call Project Witness, where they had videos of some of the Holocaust survivors. And they asked her on the video, tell us a little bit about what you experienced in the Holocaust. So she said that she was from a town somewhere, and that one day the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, came, and they announced that all of the Jews in town have to all collect and assemble in the main shul there in the town. Every single Jew. So every Jew in the town, the Kotten Vat Godel, was in this shul. Of course, they were packed. Men, women, children, all together. And then the Nazi, Yimach Shemam, took out the Sefer Torah from the Aron HaKodesh, and he put it on the ground, and he rolled it out on the ground. And then he called over one Jew that was there. She gave him a name. I don't remember the name. Let's just go and call him Lipschitz. And the lady said about this fellow, he was well known that among all the Jews in town, he was the biggest shaggitz. Few needed somebody to go and break in somewhere, or someone that you needed for Chol Shabbos, or something like this, or whatever. You knew to go to this guy, Lipschitz. Moreover, she said, if you ever have an enemy in town that you didn't think highly of, you'd say, it's a Lipschitz. You know, he's like that Lipschitz, that shaggitz. And so the German, the Nazi, went over to this Jew, and he took out his gun and he said, I want you to go and walk on the Sefer Torah. Like walking on a carpet, it's on the floor, I want you to walk on the Sefer Torah. And this fellow Lipschitz said, not in a million years, I'm not going to walk on the Sefer Torah. He said, I have a gun over here, I'm going to go and shoot you if you don't walk on the Sefer Torah. He went and he pulled open his shirt and he said, don't wait for me to disobey, go and shoot me right now. Ich gang nicht verschwächen mein Heiligkeit. I'm not going to go and disgrace my holiness. And he had koshad him, and that was the end. So people that saw the story or heard it, besides being obviously very moving, yesh koina olam b'shor achas. Throughout his life, everybody looked upon him as a shegit.
Right.
And now came that moment of truth. Right. Step in the Sefer Torah.
Wow.
Sefer chas v'shom, said the how many times you were Mechal Shabbos, you didn't wear your tefillin, and you didn't burn tzitzis, and you didn't, blah, blah, blah. Our Torah is holy. So, we have now a feel for what it means to be a Yid, and what Reb Lozer was going through, that when he saw the Sefer Torah in the ground, he felt like you could look at his face, and you could see as if he was Hekishoy Nachash. Zokti Moravait, Om Rav Yudah Mishmur. I'm sorry, Nahul.
Again, tomorrow. Bagduba, that even the most, the ones who are Bagduba, they are the holiest. We had that Gemara, I'm trying to remember who it was, Tulitzanim, I think, that they, I'll have to look up that Gemara, but...
Where's the Gemara? It's either at the end of Megillah or Tanis. Look at the last two or three lines of Megillah Tanis, and the Gemara brings a pasuk from, I think, Shir HaShirim, Pelach Rakosech, Afilu Rekonim Shabach, Malayim Mitzvahs Karimain. Something fellow Rakosech Karimain. Even Rekonim Shabach, even those that are the most Leidegeyers, people that don't believe in anything, don't do anything.
The Romans who came wanted the people to desecrate that, but I don't remember what it was, and I'll look it up.
Okay, and you'll share it with us tomorrow. Anyway, let's continue on, and the Gemara says, right, Umar Yehuda Mishmur, Kosva Igeris Psula. If you go and write a mezuzah in Igeris form, it's possible. Now, what exactly does that mean in Igeris form? Rashi gives two explanations as one. Kosva Igeris is about 10 lines from the top of the Amid. Beloy Sirtut, we just said now by Halacha Lamaisi, you're supposed to have Sirtut in the mezuzah, and they wrote it without Sirtut. Beloy Dikdim Bachaseris V'yaseiros Ki Igeris Ba'alma. And he wasn't careful about chaseres v'yaseres. We don't mean he left out whole words or what. What we mean is that when you have the vavs or the yuds, which are not absolutely necessary to be able to read the word, you can go and read the word even mole or chaser. He wasn't makban on that. And it was like in Geres Ba'alma, like a regular letter. When you write a letter to your friend and you're writing in Hebrew, you're also not makban if you add a yud or subtract a yud or a vav, etc. Or, obviously, when you write a letter, if it's not on scored paper, you also write. So it says, Yimara Kosovi Geris says, Psula. Why is it possible? My timer. Asya Ksiva Ksiva Mi Sefer. Because we have Xeda Shafa. What's Xeda Shafa? Here we're talking about Chsavtem Lois Hayedech Lidunecha. That's Ukshartem. Chsavtem Am Zois Besecha Besherecha. You're writing a mezuzah Chsavtem. It's a lotion of Ksiva. And when it comes to other things, Rashi gives two examples. Either we're learning from a get that says the cost of law sefer krisus, so that's one ksiva ksiva, or it says by Amulek, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua, ksoiv zois ikarim ba sefer v'sim bozni Yeshua. Maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe to go to the yeah. Ksoiv zois ikarim ba sefer v'sim bozni Yeshua ki mochi em chazeicha mal mitachas shemoyim leitishka. Ah, so it says ksoiv ba sefer, or just like in a sefer, you have to do it properly mital. Do it the way you're supposed to. So here too, when you're going and writing a mezuzah, it has to be a ksiva tama, just like by the get, and just like by that ksoiv zikoron basefer.
Megillah Esther is called Nigeris, and it does have sirtut. The megillas we have, they
okay.
So is that
there is a sugya in Maseches Megillah dealing with the requirements of sirtut and not from Megillah. But I thought you were going to ask another question. If we would learn ksiva ksiva from writing a sefer Torah, then I understand. Sefer Torah, you have to be makbid on chaseres v'yaseres. But if you're learning it from a get, or you're learning from that ksiv zoysikon basefer, how do you know that there's hakpada by the get that it has to be? Of course, there's hakpada, you have to write his name and her name and the town.
12
lines. But how do you know a chaseres v'yaseres? In fact, Toysis is bothered by that, and Toysis says, I'll bring you a rai that when it comes to a get, we're not so makbid. Toysis brings from in the Sechtes Gittin that when you write a get, if you look at the Toysis down below, Kosva Igeris Psula, Pirish Bekuntus, Igeris Bli Sirtut, the Koshel Vili El Amrinan, that Sirtut Shul Mezuzah Aloch HaMeshu Sinai, Vachi Yalef Ksiva Ksiva. First Kasha Toysis says it before we said, make sure the Sirtut, because Aloch HaMeshu Sinai. And now you're saying because we learn Ksiva Ksiva from Sefer. Mufar Shabedatam, Igeris Mikra Veloy Mesoiris, that the focus is really not on the sirtut aspect. He learns like the second part of the Rashi. That when you're writing a letter, you don't get careful. If you add a yud, subtract the yud, that for instance, they write the word diyisyahavion, or diyisyatzvion, says Rashi, says Toysis, chamisha, chamisha yudin. They wrote five yudin in that word. Wouldn't that seem to be a little bit overkill that you have so many yids? The gam chaseres keep going the mehach that you mehach leitzer. So the chor mehach should have a yud in there. Mehach and it's without a yud. So you see that we're not makban when it comes to get of chaseres yiseres. And therefore, Toysis doesn't like the pshat of Rashi that you learn ksiva ksiva from get, But rather, it's a toys of the Oygesh Lafarish, the Aleph Ocham, is Soita. The Parsha of Soita, then you have to write out a special Parsha, and it has to be a Ksivatama without an Ksivatama, to be able to go put into the Mayim Amorim, and to go and have a drink from it, etc.
So okay. They only had a half a minion, so they needed 5 yidden.
Yeah, hopefully that's not the case today. So that was one halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Another halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Tola b'makilis psula. If instead of putting the mezuzah on the doorpost, rather you put it on a shtekin, a long stick, and you took that stick and you stuck it next to or had it hang from or just leaning against the doorpost, that's possible. Why my time b'sharech? I mean, it's got to be in the shower itself, not on a different medium. In other words, it can't be a second-hand thing. It's got to be first-hand, on the shower, on the doorpost. Tana miyachi, tole b'makel, our case, oishinicha achra delis, you're supposed to go and put it on the side of the delis, not behind the delis, right. Meaning behind the doorpost. That's sakana v'ein b'mitzvah. It's a sakana, meaning that you don't get the benefit of the shakai, the shemidah, because you're not being yoitzi. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah's got to be on the side of the doorpost like we do it, not on the back and not on the market. And now the Gemara tells us something fascinating. The Ein B'mat Mitzvah. Shal beis mun v'zamelech, hoyu oisin b'puntekoseyan kain. What does that mean? We just said that you're not supposed to do that. And Beis Munvez and Melech, they did do it.
It wasn't Jewish.
We're assuming that they were Jewish members of the family. Uh-huh. If you go to the Rashi, Rashi pundak haynu bayis shalonin boy oibidrochim baderech. It's like an inn or a motel. If you stay in a motel for a few days, you don't need a mezuzah. The lav diras kvar. It's not a diras keva. Come on, batchelis hador ben pundi iberet Yisrael. If you live at an inn temporarily in a motel, kosh loishim yom patur mezuzah. Of course, if you go and take a lease for a year, it's a different story. But if you're just traveling and you're staying at a hotel for a week or two, you don't need a mezuzah. Bishul beis mun v'zamelach kishahoyu mahalchin baderech. When they were traveling, noisin mezuzah simon. They used to go and carry mezuzahs with them. The toyman oisin ben pundak b'makel. In other words, instead of keeping a mezuzah in your pocket or in your briefcase, they would go and keep portable. It on a portable mezuzah on a makel, on such a shtekin, and they used to go from place to place to place with such a pole with a mezuzah attached to it, and they would be toila oise out of boik until the next morning. Zeicher la mezuzah. Why zeicher? The fish loy hayadorin la oilam tiras kva. They were always on the move. Constantly going from one city to the other city to the other city. So they were never in a diras kva. So they never would have had a chi of a mezuzah. So they put the mezuzah on this shtekin and they put it there as a zeicher. As a zeicher letzius. Sorry, a zeicher mezuzah. That's the conclusion of that shtickle. We have to understand what does that mean, zeicher mezuzah. After all, when we learned the Tosis before, didn't we say in the name of the Yerushalmi, so why wouldn't you say that this person has to be a hedged if he's doing something like that? You're not mechuyev and not mechuyev. Why is he even doing that? So the chavrus that I learned with in the koil, Rabbi Chia Aryeh, who was very choshev and Talmud Chacham, said that he asked this question to the Rosh HaKoil, to Rabdon Blumberg, and Rabdon said, because there are two dinim every time in a mezuzah. You have, number one, the mitzvah of the mezuzah, and number two, you have the shmir of the mezuzah. So he said, could be that the reason why Beis Munvez HaMelech went and had this makil with the mezuzah, not l'shem mitzvah, because you're not mekayim the mitzvah, it's got to be b'sharecha, but they did it as a zecher to have shmir there. At least you have the mezuzah there. It's better than nothing, as a shtikl shmir. But he said, perhaps one can say that pshat. Wonderful pshat. I think we could say perhaps another pshat as well. In many communities, and I heard even here on the West Side, although I don't know from my own personal experience, that the those communities where they have an Erev throughout the year, that once a year they announce that the Erev is down.
Right, Thanksgiving, Shabbos. Shabbos, Thanksgiving weekend.
Right. So they, whether that actually happens or not, I don't know. But I know that they used to, that on every Thanksgiving they would go and say there's no kosher Erev, and therefore everybody, we're going to be finished in about 2 or 3 minutes, that there's no kosher Erev, and therefore everybody should go be careful about caring. Why is that? Because they don't want people to think, you have a person that's born on the West Side, and he relies on the Erev, and he's going to become 25 years old, he visits another community, he's going to be carrying the Shabbos. Hey, Shabbos guy, you're carrying out in the streets. It's
delicious.
He said, what do you mean? I live on the West Side, very outstanding community, fine attire to eat, and everybody was always carrying. So this is a din of an Erev, the din of carrying, don't get carried away. But he won't know. So the Atzazeicha, to remind people there's a mitzvah of, or an Isra of Tiltal and Shabbos. Right. So since Munvaz HaMelech was constantly traveling, you could have a situation where his children or his Einiklach, who are Jewish, are going to go and say, you don't need a mezuzah. We were with Zaidi, with Tati all these years, and then every night there was never a mezuzah there. You just have Sanaya Chumri and Anaim Shigas. So Azeicha Melokidenk, and that there's a mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. You said Munvaz is Jewish?
Whether he was or not, obviously the reason why he's doing it is for Jews in his entourage.
Okay.
Even assuming that he wasn't, but Jewish, there must have been Jews. Otherwise, why is, what's he doing with the mezuzah?
It was his son-in-law married to his
exactly
his daughter,
right, right. And converted, yeah, 100%. And I'll tell you a real life story that happened with me.
Huh.
And that is, many years ago, there was a Yid called David Weinberg. David Weinberg was the son of the Friedrich Slonim Rebbe, and he was the brother-in-law of the Nesiv Sholem, who's become so famous after his passing. Rabbi David Weinberg, even there, a fine Rebbe, he used to come once a year for collections for his yeshiva, and he would stay at Ramesha Dykman. Ramesha Dykman's friend, the Baruch, who used to give a shir here once a week, was Islam Machus, and he used to stay with him. Anyway, one Friday night, it started raining outside, and then everybody was worried about their hat, and nobody put a plastic on their hat, because as you know, Ramosha and all the other poskim say, you can't go and put a plastic on the hat and wear it outside.
It's carrying.
You can wear a hat outside, because that's protecting the goof. But the plastic is not protecting the goof, it's only protecting the hat. So you can't wear that. And he was putting his plastic on his hat, ready to go out. And everybody in shul was going, oh, k'moshe kishrei nochash. This Erlich Yidr, David Weinberg, is wearing a plastic on his hat. Nobody does that. So I went over to him politely. I don't even know if I was bar mitzvah then. Maybe I was shikul mechutzif. And I said to David, the oilim doesn't
allow for... No, you have to do this.
He said, you know, I've been living in Yerushalayim, Mirakodesh, for the last 56 years.
They have an Arab in Yerushalayim.
Exactly. That's why you need that zeicher, because otherwise you don't realize there's an issue of wearing the plastic.
Because my kids grew up on the west side, there's an Arab, and we were in Krakow for Shabbos.
Stop over here, everybody.
And they didn't have an